You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. 2017 is shaping up to be a record year for spending by lobbyists and special interests in Michigan, money spent trying to influence Michigan lawmakers. And one of those with the deepest pockets, Dan Gilbert's Quicken Loans and Rock Ventures. Craig Mauger of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network's been digging into newly released campaign finance statements, as has Michigan Radio's Lansing reporter Shana Roth. They're both with us here now from Lansing. Craig, what do these new campaign finance statements tell us about just how much Quicken Loans and other Dan Gilbert entities spent on lobbying state government and donating to politicians in 2017?
Yeah, so it's very clear from these new reports that everyone has to file at the end of August or at the end of July that Quicken Loans and Rock Ventures, which is another Dan Gilbert entity, heavily increased their lobbying spending over the first 7 months of 2017. And at the same time, employees who work for either Quicken Loans or Rock Ventures have increased the number of campaign contributions they're handing out. So kind of the reach they're giving to a lot more state lawmakers than they had previously.
And is this because Dan Gilbert can't make donations to state politicians?
That could be part of it, but under Michigan law, Dan Gilbert and other individuals who have financial interest in casinos cannot give campaign contributions. That's been a longstanding state law. So while Mr. Gilbert is a major donor at the federal level, you should not be seeing any campaign contribution with Dan Gilbert's name on it in Michigan at the state level.
And this was the case, right? So we're talking about people associated with Rock Financial and Quicken Loans.
These contributions we're looking at tended to come from other executives in Quicken Loans and people who work in Quicken Loans' government affairs department. One, their state lobbyist, the person who's registered to lobby on their behalf, gave to 23 different state house members, for instance, over the first 7 months of the year. So it's primarily been executives and people who work in government affairs.
And to be clear, how does the rate of donating and spending on lobbying state government this year compare to previous years?
We looked at over 2016 and 2017. So those are the 2 years while these bills have been in the works to provide the tax incentives for projects that Quicken Loans and Dan Gilbert have in the works in Detroit. Over those 2 years, the year of 2016 and the first 7 months of 2017, they spent about $303,000 on lobbying. You compare that to the previous 10 years, Rock Ventures and Quicken Loans had only combined to spend $263,000 on lobbying. So you can see what an increase there's been. And the biggest year for lobbying, if you just look at 1 year, was 2017, the year we're currently in. The first 7 months of the year, about $156,000 Quicken Loans reported spending on lobbying, and that's more than they've spent in the last, all of the years that are on file with the Secretary of State for the public to see easily.
And Craig references these new tax incentive bills. And this spending was happening at the same time the legislature was doing a second pass at these bills to bring in new tax incentives. So remind us again, Shana, what is in these bills? Some call them the Brownfield bills. Others call them the Gilbert bills. What was in them?
Right. These bills are essentially major tax incentives for developers like Dan Gilbert's organizations that build on blighted or undesirable land. And we're not talking, a couple thousand extra dollars here or there. I mean, these are millions of dollars in tax incentives. And last year, before the end of session, the Senate had, pushed these bills through and they died in the House. They couldn't even get a vote in a House committee. And then first thing this past year, the bills were reintroduced in the Senate, and they actually went through much quicker. I think it was maybe about 3 months before they went from the Senate through final passage through the House and hit Governor Rick Snyder's desk. So it was a very, very different path that these bills took this past year.
And what do they allow to happen now? Now that they've been signed into law, what can developers do?
So what can happen is developers who want to take advantage of these incentives, and they have to meet very specific requirements as far as how many employees, where they're going to build, how many jobs they're going to create, things like that. They can apply for these incentives through a state agency, and then that state agency will make a decision of whether or not the project qualifies. The state agency says there's quite a few developers who have requested these incentives or have at least expressed an interest in taking advantage of these incentives. including Dan Gilbert's company. However, the spokesperson that I talked to said, you know, we can't really give you any specifics because we have agreed to a non-disclosure agreement with Dan Gilbert's company as far as, you know, what the specific developments are that he is looking to take advantage of. So we do know that within the few months that these bills have become law, that Dan Gilbert's company is pursuing them.
So we know that the bills, now law, allow for the capture of income tax revenue from the employees who work on these properties. And that certainly is a fit with Rock Ventures' plans for a $2.5 billion development on the site of the old downtown Hudson's.
And potentially, I think that $2.5 billion figure includes other potential developments in Detroit. And when you're talking about kind of that question that often gets asked, why should people care about this? I mean, this is not just a few thousand dollars. I mean, this is potentially hundreds of millions of dollars in incentives. There's language in here that allows for, you know, $40 million in reimbursements a year through the income tax capture that's going to happen in these bills. So, I mean, this is a large sum of money. The developers who support this bill would argue, these bills would argue that this is money that the state isn't currently getting, so the state's not really losing out on it. But this is development that they plan for the state, and this is revenue that would be coming to the state if this bill had not been passed.
Craig, were contributions given to lawmakers on both sides of the aisle?
Yeah, this was a completely a bipartisan venture. You know, they say nothing's bipartisan anymore, but this definitely was. You know, Democrats, a lot of Democrats got contributions from Quicken Loans Connected donors, as did Republicans. I mean, I think we listed the six lawmakers in the House who received the most from Quicken Loans donors, and there were three Democrats and three Republicans. The vote on these bills was bipartisan as well. You had a large number of Democrats vote in favor and a large number of Republicans.
What was also interesting is it wasn't just bipartisan. It was also, I guess you could call it by vote. People who ended up voting no on the bills, there were eight of them who also received donations from Quicken Loans, including a small donation went to a Republican representative, Stephen Johnson, who spoke out quite adamantly against these bills.
Give us an idea what kind of donations, what amounts are we talking about here?
It depends on the lawmaker. I mean, we looked at 56 different House members who received contributions, and the contributions range from like $150, which is likely a ticket to a fundraiser, to a few thousand dollars. I think one lawmaker received $4,000 total across a few contributions from two or three Quicken Loans employees. So you're looking at a range from $4,000 to 150. And I think with this story, the amount isn't really what is something that we're focusing on, but the number of House members that got contributions. So like these Quicken Loans employees gave to 56 state House members over the first 7 months of the year. If you go back to previous years, Quicken Loans employees and the PAC, the last 4 years had never given to more than 13 state House members over an entire year. So there was kind of an explosion in the reach of the contributions.
And in previous years, it seemed like they were more focused on giving to the actual, like the party committee. So just like the Democratic House Committee or the Republican House Committee. Whereas this year, they really went to individual lawmakers, and over half of them received donations from Quicken Loans.
Now, Hudson's stopped all operations in that Woodward building in 1986, and you're talking to someone who grew up shopping at that glorious Hudson's on Woodward downtown. The building was imploded in October 98, and that site has just sat there for 19 years. So there are some who might say, well, if getting that tax incentive passed gets some development on that empty site, and Quicken Loans and Rock Financial made donations to lawmakers to make that come together, okay, so be it. Well, what do you say to that?
Yeah, there were a lot of lawmakers who made that exact same argument, that I have a property in my district that's not going to be developed unless these bills become law, and that's why I support it. It had nothing to do with the $500 contribution that I received. And I think that's an argument that definitely is something the public needs to hear. But I think it's also very important that the public knows the kind of lobbying and influence swaying that's going on as this much money is at stake. I mean, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars potentially in public money at stake here. It's extremely important to know, like, what is going on with the public officials who are voting on this.
You can get the full report by going to mcfn.org, the Michigan Campaign Finance Network website. As we've talked to Craig Mauger of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network and Michigan Radio Lansing reporter Shana Roth, thanks to both of you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.